122, verse 1. Psalm 122, verse 1. Look at it with me. It says, a song of ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So you can see someone saying, I love this place, would have fit in with what we're talking about today. The psalmist here says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, that this is something that last Sunday when, actually it started when we were praying, when in the office before service, I was praying with Reed and Amanda and Miss Ann. And that verse started stirring in my heart last Sunday. And I came out and I think I opened the service. I didn't quote the verse exactly, but I said, there's a spirit of gladness that God wants to pour out. Amen. In this place. And we came in here Wednesday for prayer school, and it was still, that verse was still stirring in my heart. And we prayed about that, and I actually prophesied, you know, some things about that, about why the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. So we're going to talk about that this morning. But I want you to notice something here. Look at what it says here, the very first words. Everybody look at the screen with me. A song of ascents of David. All right? That's not something that the translator added. That's in the scripture. A song of ascents. You know what to ascent, what an ascent is? It means to move up. It means to go up. Well, there are 15. There's a group of these psalms from Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. If you look in your Bible, you don't have to look right now, but if you look in your Bible, you'll find out that all 15 of those in that group start out that way. There's a collection of psalms called the songs of ascents. And what it was, what these psalms were for is when the Jews had their feast and everybody had to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the different feasts throughout the year that they had. Well, not everybody lived in Jerusalem, but they all had to go to Jerusalem. So the Jews that lived in the surrounding cities and towns and regions of the nation of Israel would come to Jerusalem. And as they would come in to Jerusalem, as they would come in to celebrate that feast, Jerusalem is on a high hill or mountain, really, Mount Moriah. And so they would have to literally ascend. And when they did that, as they were coming up to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms. They knew that it was prescribed, these 15 songs of ascents, and they would sing these 15 songs, and the joy would build, and the excitement would build, and the anticipation would build as they did. And they said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to talk today about the house of the Lord. And if you will understand and recognize the value of the house of the Lord, and if you will gladly respond to the invitation, let's go to the house of the Lord, I'll tell you something, you will ascend in your life spiritually. Just like those pilgrims ascended physically in altitude, going up to Jerusalem, you will ascend. You'll rise to a higher place spiritually when you recognize and the value of the house of the Lord, and you respond to that call. Let's go into the house of the Lord. That word also means to climb. Literally means a step, and it means to climb. You'll take a step up spiritually. You'll climb higher spiritually. Is anybody interested in climbing higher spiritually? I believe we all want to go higher in God. Amen. We're not satisfied where we're at, but we know God's got more for us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. But let's define this. When we say the house of the Lord, I know we all understand, you know, maybe growing up or maybe traditionally you thought, well, the house of the Lord, well, that's the building. That's that red brick thing with a white steeple on top. That's the house of the Lord. And a lot of your experience was, was there anything glad about this? Come on, amen? Yes. So what is he talking about? It's deeper than the church building, for sure, all right? And so we know it's not the building, amen? Now, we also know that individually we are the house of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen? But then there is a huge element, and this is what I'm going to focus on today, a huge element of when we come together, as we are right now, we are the house of the Lord this way.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so the gathering together to worship and to celebrate and to, as Royal said, fellowship and encourage one another.
Amen.
That's a huge part.
Yes.
That's a huge part.
Yes.
So when the call goes out, let's go into the house of the Lord, we ought to respond with I'm glad.
Amen.
I'm glad. We ought to recognize the value of it. Amen. So there's a lot of people in our Christian culture today in our country that have lost sight of the value of this. And beyond that, something that is positive that you see going on is that a lot of churches, and we, you know, maybe haven't necessarily used these phrases or these words, but some of the words I'm noticing where we're building community. Well, that's good.
Yes.
That's part of being the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about that today. Praise God. So the house of the Lord is to be a place of gladness and great joy. Again, my thought was, when the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, why was he glad? What was he thinking of that made him glad when they said, hey, let's go to the house of the Lord? Well, because there's healing in the house.
Amen.
There's healing in the house of the Lord. There's salvation in the house. There's victory in the house. There's joy in the house. There's comfort in the house. You know what? There's acceptance in the house. The house, Jesus said, and we're going to look at some of these things as we get through this, the house is to be a house of prayer for all the nations. In fact, this phrase, the house of the Lord, I looked it up, it appears 232 times in the Scripture. I think that's probably pretty important. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's something we ought to pay attention to. It's something we ought to have an understanding of. When God mentions something 232 times throughout His Word, then that's a pretty big deal. Amen? So let's look at this. Let's look at, again, I'm going to give you some Scripture. We've kind of already talked on, you know, mentioned this, but let's look at the scriptural foundation for it. The house, the New Testament house of God, or the New Testament house of the Lord. What is it exactly? Well, Hebrews 3. Now remember, the book of Hebrews was written to the who?
Hebrews.
To the Hebrews. It's not a trick question. And the Hebrews, that's another name for the Jews, right? They had the revelation of God. They knew the Old Testament. So the writer of Hebrews, is what he's doing is saying, okay, you know these things. You've experienced these things from the law and from the old covenant. Here's the revelation of them now that we're in the new covenant. Here's the revelation of them now that we're in Christ. Now that the Messiah has come, now that Jesus has come, here's what all this really means. Here's what it was all pointing to.
Amen.
Amen. So Hebrews 3, verse 5, he says, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. Verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house. Notice that. Whose house we are. Whose house we are. Whose house we are. We are that house. Hallelujah. If, there's an if there, there's a condition. Two things. If, number one, he says, if we hold fast the confidence. So we've got to hold fast our confidence. And then the second thing that we're admonished that we have to do to be his house is hold fast the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So we're to hold fast our confidence and we're to hold fast the rejoicing of our hope. Amen. To be the house of the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews 10. And we're going to look at some verses here that I believe illustrate what it looks like to be the house of the Lord. This is what we're... The Bible says that the Word of God, it says about itself, it's a mirror.
Yes.
James talks about it being a mirror.
Yes.
Paul talks about it being a mirror, looking into the Word of God as a mirror. In other words, this is how we're supposed to look.
Amen?
Amen? So this is how we are supposed to look as the house of the Lord in these Scriptures, if you'll look at them with me. Hebrews 10, verse 19, therefore, brethren, he says, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over what?
The house of
God. Over the house of God. Having a high priest over the house of God. Who is that high priest over the house of God? Jesus. Jesus is our high priest. All right? So he's telling us what to do here in the house of God. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. Verse 24, now here we go. And let us consider one another. See, we are the house of the Lord.
Amen.
We're not just, Christianity was not meant to be done just Lone Ranger style. Well, I got saved and now I don't need anybody. I guess me and God, my theme song is All I Need Is You. Some people take that to an extreme, you know. Amen? Well, you know, if you don't have anybody else, yes, he's there, but we need one another. We need one another. Amen. You need a pastor. We need our fellow believers. Amen.
Yes.
We need all the ministry gifts.
Amen.
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 Praise God. All right. So he says, let us consider one another. Verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's what we ought to be stirring up in one another.
Yes.
As believers, as the house of God, as the household of faith, we ought to be stirring up love and good works in one another.
Amen.
Amen? Praise God. So ask yourself a question. What am I stirring up in other people?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. We should stir up love and good works.
Amen.
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 Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So here he's talking about part of it is our assembling together, coming together to worship together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
I have a question. Is the day approaching?
Yes.
It absolutely is.
Amen.
Well, you know, they've been saying Jesus is coming back for all my life, Pastor. Yeah, I'll tell you something. He's closer. He's your lifetime.
Yes.
Whenever they start saying it, he's that much closer to coming back.
That's right. Yes.
The day is approaching.
Yes.
And he said, we ought to be assembling together in order to encourage one another, in order to exhort one another. We ought to be doing it so much the more as we see the day approaching.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it means to be the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Now, let's go to Romans 12. And I believe these are some other scriptures that illustrate beautifully what it means to interact and to be the house of the Lord as believers. He says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is how the house of God functions. This is how we are to be the house of God. All right? Verse 12. Remember what he said here, what he said back in Hebrews 3. He said, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. All right? Here it is again. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. What is our hope? Well, the Bible says our hope is the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope is that our faith is in Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord. Our sins have been forgiven, been washed away. Our hope is eternity. Our hope is eternal salvation. We have the hope, the Bible says in Hebrews, as an anchor for our souls. It's steadfast and it's sure. When we face storms and challenges, we're anchored because of that hope we have. And he says, don't let go of that hope. Keep that hope, the rejoicing of that hope. Amen. I'm telling you, I know it's in my list of messages to preach this year, a series on hope. There's some things about hope we need to understand. But here he says, rejoicing in that hope. Not just having it, but rejoicing in it. Glory to God, yes, Jesus is coming back. Glory to God, yes, I'm saved. Glory to God, it might not look like things are working out, but God has promised me. God's word is true. I've got a hope in that, and I'm going to rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Amen. Jesus said the house was to be a house of prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. Glory to God. We do that around here. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Here's a big one. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. That's what the church is supposed to be. That's how we're to be the house of God. Amen? Praise God. Let's go over to 1 Peter and see some things over there. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, he says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones. Think of yourself as a living stone. Amen. I know some people have said about you that you're dumb as a rock. Are you hard-headed as a rock? Yeah. Well, you don't have to accept that, but we are living stones. Amen. Amen? We're living stones. Say, I'm a living stone.
I'm a living stone.
Say, I'm not a dumb rock.
I'm a living stone.
Glory. Amen. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Well, again, that's why it's important for us to assemble together. If those stones just stay separated out, they can't ever form a house, can they? No, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What are those sacrifices? The sacrifice of praise. That's why there's such power when we come together and when we praise and when we worship. That's why we were exhorting you this morning that when we that during praise and worship, it's not just this is what we fill in, while we're waiting on everybody to get here. There's spiritual, we're assembling as the house. These living stones are coming together. Amen. We're assembling together as living stones to make a house of the Lord. And we're offering up spiritual sacrifices. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. When we assemble together and we praise Him, that forms His house.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yes.
What a privilege to be His house.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Now, so when we talk about the house of the Lord, there's one, as Audio Adrenaline said, big, big house.
Yes.
With lots and lots of room.
Yeah.
And a big, big table.
Yeah.
With lots and lots of food. You don't pronounce the D when you say it that way. Amen. Lots and lots of food. You say foo.
Right.
It is food, but they don't in the song they don't pronounce the D. Does anybody remember that song?
Yes.
All right. I love it. Come and go with me to my Father's house.
Amen.
And so there's one big house of the Lord.
Yes.
The entire body of Christ, made up of all true believers in Jesus. And Paul calls this in 2 Timothy 2:20, Paul calls this a great house. He said in a great house, there's all kinds of vessels. Vessels of gold and silver and wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. If anyone will cleanse themselves, prepare themselves, they'll be a vessel of honor. Well, we all want to be vessels of honor in this great house of God, don't we? Amen. Not only are we living stones, but we can be vessels within this house.
Amen.
Amen. And he calls it, my point is though, he calls it a great house. That's the entire church. It's the great house of God. But every local church, every local assembly is to be a house of God as well. Amen. Again, not the building, but when we come together, we're offering up those spiritual sacrifices. We're offering up praises. We're offering up prayers. We're hearing the Word together in one mind, in one accord. That makes us the house of the Lord. Did you ever think about it? Now, think about this right now. If you were at home, if we were all scattered and just at home, there's no way that we would be on the same subject together. I guess the Holy Spirit could do it. But if we were scattered at home, you might be reading your Bible, but you'd be reading somewhere. I'd be reading somewhere. James would be reading somewhere else. No, there's something about coming together and hearing the same word that unifies us.
Amen.
That brings us into one mind and one accord. And
yes.
There's power in that unity.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And when we go out the doors, when we dismiss in a few minutes and we go out the doors, it doesn't mean, okay, we're out of the house of the Lord. No, we're still connected. We're still family. We're still this local body. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And again, the modern word for it is building community, and it's being the house of the Lord. That's why we're going to go over and help RJ and Linda next Saturday because of the things that they've been going through. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Go with me to Matthew 21. And I want us to see some things here. In Matthew 21, verse 12, it says, "Then Jesus went into the temple of God," or another way we could say that is the house of God, because the temple of God, but he was going into the temple in Jerusalem, which at that time was designated and was ordained as the house of God. All right? Jesus went into the temple of God, and what did he do? He drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. What is Jesus doing here? Jesus is setting the house of God in order.
Amen.
He's setting it in order, and he's saying, no, I'm going to bring my house back into the design and the purpose that God wants for it. This house is to be a house of prayer.
Amen.
Let's say it. Let's say, we are a house of prayer.
House of prayer.
Amen. So the house of God that we're talking about, it is a house of prayer.
Yes.
And we are, individually, we are to be houses of prayer.
Amen.
But collectively, we're to be a house of prayer.
Amen.
Prayer ought to be a big thing around here.
Amen.
And it is. That's why we have prayer school on Wednesday.
Yes.
That's why on the following Wednesday evening, we're going to begin a prayer power. That's why we pray. We saved it. Now you know why we saved it to the end today, just so it'd have more impact. That's why we pray when we gather together. We pray together. We pray in unison.
Amen.
We're going to do that today. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we are to be a house of prayer. So he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." Verse 14, the very next verse, it says, then when? After Jesus had set the house in order, and after Jesus had made the declaration, "My house is to be a house of prayer," then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. You see, once the church becomes a house of prayer, it will then be a house of healing. In order for us to be a house of healing, we have to first be a house of prayer. Amen? What is God's design? It's God's design that this house be a house of prayer. And it was God's design then for the temple to be a house of prayer. And Jesus then illustrated what else it was in the Father's heart for the house to be, because the blind and the lame came up to him in the temple and he healed them. And he proclaimed in that act, he proclaimed, "This house is to be a house of healing. This house is to be a house where healing flows."
Amen.
That's who we are to be. We are his house, and we are to be a house of healing.
Amen.
Now, for the church, for us as believers, we ought to be healed and walk in health. That's God's will. But you know, we ought to be a house of healing to the world, to where when the world comes to us, or when unsaved people come through these doors, we don't have to say, "Well, you know, you got to get saved first, and then you got to learn the scripture, and then maybe after 2 or 3 years, God might heal you." The moment they walk in these doors, they get healed, and then we say, "How about it? You ready to get saved?" Yes.
Amen.
That's the way it ought to work. We're to be a house of healing. This house is to be a house of healing. Amen. I've shared it many times, but years ago, I was reading Luke 9:11. And the Lord spoke to me as I read that verse. And he said, "That's your ministry as a pastor, and that's what your church is to be." Luke 9:11, if you don't know it, it says, and when the people came to Jesus, it said, "And he received them, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who had need of healing."
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are to be a house of healing.
Amen.
We are to be a house of healing. It says that the lame came to, the blind came to him, the lame came to him, and he healed them. Hallelujah. There is healing for the lame, for the blind, for every sickness, every disease. Christ has redeemed us. We're all ready this morning. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Under the curse of the law, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, every sickness and every disease is under that curse. But thank God Christ has redeemed us from that curse. And we as the church are to be a house of healing, proclaiming that and ministering that.
Amen.
Amen? Listen, you're part of that house. Don't sit there saying, okay, yeah, pastor's going to have a healing. No, you're part of that house.
Yes.
You lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Yes. These signs will follow those who believe.
Right.
They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. When we go out of these doors, we're still the house.
Yes.
And whomever you encounter this week that needs healing and the door opens and you have the opportunity, you lay hands on them and God will heal them.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Yes.
All right. Now, so we're to be, number one, the house is a house of prayer. Then number two, the house of the Lord is a house to be a house of healing. Amen. Physical healing. But this too, look at what Jesus said in Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal. Look at this. Everybody look at the screen. Praise God. Everybody looking at the screen. He has sent me to heal what? The brokenhearted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Amen?
Yes.
There's healing for the brokenhearted in this house. Yes, physical healing, but healing for the brokenhearted. That's what we're to be. Amen? Praise God. Now, I want to take this a little further here. Now, I believe the blind and the lame came to Jesus and He healed them. Literally, we accept it like that, and we're to be that. Amen? But then let's look at it figuratively too, because Jesus did. Jesus talked a lot about people being spiritually blind. He talked a lot about people, said, well, you say that you see, but you're blind. Right? Talked about the blind leading the blind. Not talking about physically, but spiritually. Talking about the Pharisees, you're blind leaders of the blind. And both will fall into the ditch. Right?
Yes.
Well, so the blind can't see. All right? And so it says the blind came to Him in the temple and heal them. What is that significant of? Well, the house of the Lord, coming into the house of the Lord. That's why the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Because there's healing in the house.
Amen.
But there's also, there's a remedy for our spiritual blindness. Get this now.
Yeah.
There's a remedy for our spiritual blindness when we come into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Do you know we can get blinded? We can get blinded by deception. Do you know we can get blinded and deceived? And that's why, you know, the devil then will isolate you. That's why you need to come. That's why we need to come together. That's why you need the house of the Lord. Because sometimes you get blinded. But if you come into the temple, into the house, Jesus will open your eyes. I said Jesus will open your eyes. Our blindness gets healed. Look at this. In Psalm 73, the writer of this psalm was having that problem. And he had gotten so deceived that he was about to give up serving God. He's saying, it's no use. I've been trying to serve God. I've been trying to follow God. And I just get problems. I look at my neighbor and he doesn't go to church. He doesn't acknowledge God. And he's got a brand new boat. He just goes to the lake every weekend. He's prospering. Everything's good with his kids. I'm having trouble with my kids. His kids are making straight A's, going to these good colleges. And he doesn't even acknowledge God. I'm about to give up on all this stuff. Verse 13, he says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been, next verse quickly, Amy. For all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. Verse 15, if I'd said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your child. I was thinking it. I just felt like just about to give up on this whole thing. And then, wait a minute, that's not right. And so he didn't speak it. Thank God. Well, so how did he get straightened out? Verse 16. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, too difficult for me. How come the wicked prosper? How come I'm struggling? Until,
yeah.
Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, or the house of the Lord. When I got into the house of the Lord, then I understood. Then my eyes were opened. The blind came to Him in the temple in the house and He healed them.
Amen.
There's healing for your blindness. You and I can get bad attitudes and get wrong thinking and get deceived. But when we come into the house, it clears up our thinking and we're able to see again.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Verse 23 says, nevertheless, so He got straightened out to where He said, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. My neighbor may have a new boat, and he may not be going to church. But when it's all said and done, when the dust settles and when the smoke clears and when I'm through this test, I'm going to be the one standing in victory.
Amen.
And hopefully I'm going to win my neighbor as well.
Amen.
Amen. You hold me by my right hand. Verse 24, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Amen. That person got their eyes opened when they went into the sanctuary of God, when they went into the house of the Lord. The blind came to Jesus in the temple. Yes, the physical blind were healed, but when we come into the house of the Lord, that's why I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord, because I get my eyes opened. I get my eyes open. Hallelujah. Well, let's talk about that other group there. He said the blind came to him, but then it says the lame as well, right? The lame. Well, Jesus healed the physically lame, but what about the lame? What's the matter when a person is lame? They can't walk right.
Yeah.
If you're lame, you can't walk right. Has anybody ever had trouble with your love walk? Has anybody ever had a limp in your faith walk?
Yeah.
Huh? See, when we come into the house, we get our walk right.
Amen.
The Bible says we're to walk worthy of the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
But until we come into the house, our walk might be messed up. Our love walk might be all askew. Our faith walk might not be so good. Our walking worthy of the Lord might be falling a little bit short. But when we come into the house, Jesus heals our lameness. Our lameness is healed in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
In the word that's preached and taught, that's where your lameness gets healed. That's where your blindness gets open.
Amen.
In experiencing the presence of God through the praise and worship.
Yes.
In being in relationship with other believers to exhort and encourage you, that gets your walk right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, It's really incredible in this passage in Matthew that the blind and the lame are mentioned. Because, and I've shared this before, because Jesus was the son of David, right?
Yes.
David was a type of the Messiah, and Jesus was the fulfillment. Jesus was the Messiah. And when he comes into the house and into the temple and he sets things in order and he says, my house is to be a house of prayer, It says the blind and the lame came to him. In other words, the blind and the lame were received. He didn't reject them, but he received them.
Amen.
That's so significant because when David, going back to when David became king, David and his army, they didn't have, Jerusalem was in control of a people called the Jebusites at that time. They had all kinds of ites back then. And one of them was the Jebusites. You know, you should be glad you don't have to deal with ites today. Well, I guess there are certain kind of ites that we still have to deal with, but that's another message for another day. But the Jebusites controlled Jerusalem, and David knew, hey, Jerusalem, that's where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. That's where God said we're to have this land. We got to take Jerusalem, guys. And so they went, David and his army went to take Jerusalem from the Jebusites, and they thought they had such a fortress there, such an impenetrable barricade and fortress, the Jebusites mocked him. And they said, you won't come in here. Even the blind and the lame will be able to repel you and your army, David. We don't even have to send really any good soldiers. We'll just put the blind and the lame out there. Our fortress and our citadel is so strong, you can't get in here, even if it's manned by the blind and the lame. And David said, we'll show you. In verse 8 of 2 Samuel 5, Now, David's men prevailed then. And David said, on that day, whoever climbs up by the way of the water shaft and defeats the Jebusites, the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul. Why were they hated by David's soul? Because it was mocked. You know, that just grated on him. The blind and the lame are going to defeat you, David. And so David said, they were hated by David's soul. He shall be chief and captain. Therefore, they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. All right. The blind. And so there was a saying in Israel after that time, blind and the lame, you're rejected. Blind and the lame, you'll not come into the house. But Jesus, when he comes into the house, and the blind and the lame were out there saying, are we allowed in now? Jesus said, come here.
Amen.
And he heals them. He heals them. See, there's acceptance. There is acceptance in the house of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Luke 9:11, and Jesus received them. Oh, we ought to be. That's what we ought to be as the house of the Lord, where we receive people. That's the beautiful thing that I noticed about Spirit-filled people. When I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was around a group of young people that had got filled with the Spirit. And you know, they received. I was in high school. And you know how cliques can be in high school. Brutal. And I got around these people, and they, you know, I didn't have to prove anything to them. I didn't have to dress a certain way. I didn't have to talk a certain way. They just loved me for who I was. I love that.
Amen.
That's what people are looking for.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Young or old, people want to be accepted. Amen.
Right.
I'm not talking about, you know, accepting. You know, there's the word now is tolerance, where we're just you know, I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying love and accept people right where they're at. Welcome them in. Do we proclaim the truth to them? Absolutely.
Yes.
Amen. So we don't compromise the truth, but yet we lovingly receive and accept people. There is acceptance in the house of the Lord. Jesus
right.
didn't reject these people. The blind and the lame came to him and healed them. He didn't reject
Amen.
Them.
Yes.
He said, no, I'm overriding that old saying, that old principle.
Amen.
The blind and the lame are welcome in the house.
Yeah, right.
The blind and the lame are welcome in the house.
Amen.
Amen. There's acceptance. There's acceptance.
Yes.
Isaiah 56, Jesus is quoting Isaiah 56 when he says, my house will be a house of prayer. So let's go back and see something right there. It says, also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Who? He says the sons of the foreigner. In other words, you don't have to be native born Jew, native born in the house of Israel. Any foreigner that comes and says, I want to be a part of this house of the Lord, I want to join myself to the Lord, God says, yeah, I'll bring you into my holy mountain. And I'll make you joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted
Amen.
On my altar
yes.
for my house
yes.
should be called a house of prayer for all nations.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The New Testament scripture that we want to see in this is Ephesians 2:19. Look at this. He says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That is God's offer of acceptance. Amen. You're no longer a stranger. When we go, listen, when we go to the house of the Lord, when the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go. And when we go to the house of the Lord, we're not going as a guest. You're going home.
Amen.
It's your house.
Yes.
It's your house.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The house of the Lord is your house. That's your home. Amen. You're a fellow citizen with the saints. You're a member. You're a member of the household of God. Amen. Amen. I love what Brother Kim Clout says when he comes. He exhorts you to say, this is my house. This is my house of destiny. Amen. I hope you see this house, this local church, as your house of destiny. And I hope you're glad. I hope you're glad. When the call is made, let's go into the house of the Lord. I hope there's something that sparks in you that says, I'm glad. Let's go. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Incidentally, David actually didn't hold to that saying, the blind and the lame are hated and can't come in here. David changed his tune just three chapters later, or four chapters. In 2 Samuel 5 is where we were reading. If you fast forward to 2 chapter 9, David gets up one day, and he's king, and he says, I wonder, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show them kindness for Jonathan's sake? And David's servants came back, and they said, well, David, there is one. We found one. But David, there's only one problem. This guy's lame. And you know what you've said about the lame? You've said the lame will not come into the house. David said, oh, forget that. Verse 7. So David said to him, so his name was Mephibosheth, and so they brought him, and David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness.
Thank you, Lord.
David was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
And he made a mistake by saying the blind and lame won't ever come in here. He, God softened his heart. God was able to move on his heart. And he said to this lame, the grandson of the man that tried to kill him,
yes.
Saul,
right.
Grandson of Saul. And he said, something. God put something in his heart and he said, I'm going to show them kindness. What kings normally did was if there was any descendants left of the former king, they'd kill them off just so they couldn't rise back up and get the kingdom back. But David said, I'm going to show them kindness. That's why he was a man after God's heart.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I'll restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And look at this. And you shall eat bread at my table continually.
Amen.
Well, where's the table at? Where's the dinner table at? It's in the house, isn't it? It's in the house. In fact, it's one of the most important places in the house. It's where the bonding and is to take place in the house. It's around the dinner table. Amen. Amen. My favorite TV show is, and I've shared this before, is Blue Bloods. And Roland Barber turned me on to Blue Bloods a few years ago. And I think I've seen every episode. Now, I had not ever seen it, and I jumped in probably season 6 or 7. And I went back and saw all of season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I think 8 now. I think they've completed season 8. I'm looking forward to season 9 coming up in the fall here. But I've seen the show Blue Bloods. I know Paul's seen it. And some of you, but no matter what's going on, no matter what challenges are facing this family, the Reagan family who are involved, what's Tom Selleck's name? Frank Reagan is the police chief of New York, and his daddy, who still lives with him in the house, was a former police chief. And then he's got a son that's a detective and a son that's a beat cop and a daughter that's an assistant DA. And they've got, you know, kids and there's grandkids and all. But no matter what's going on, the challenges that they're facing or the ordeals that they're going through throughout the episode, at one point in every episode, they come home. They come home and they gather around the table. Every Sunday evening is their, or Sunday afternoon is their time to come home, and they gather around the table. No matter what's going on, all the problems get solved. Everything gets taken care of. The burdens get lifted.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
And their love and care. This has me crying every episode. I cry every episode. Their love and care for everyone, for the family, gets reaffirmed. I mean, they may be, you know, Danny what's the girl that's the assistant? Aaron. Danny and Aaron may be bumping heads all, you know, through the week, but they come home and, you know, and they have dinner and everything's good. Everything's good. Family first, they say.
Amen.
Praise God. So the burdens get lifted, the problems get solved, and the love for one another gets reaffirmed. Well, that's the way the house of the Lord should be. That's the way the house of the Lord should be. Amen. Can you see now why the psalmist said, I was glad?
Amen.
I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's why another psalm says, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll leave us with this. And Reed, come on back up if you would. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man you choose. Well, that's you.
Yeah.
He's chosen you. And caused to approach you. We've all been called and chosen to approach God, to come into His presence. We look at this now, that He may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house.
Amen.
We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house.
Yeah.
There is goodness in the house to satisfy every need, every longing in our hearts. It's so important that we understand this reality of the house of the Lord and that we be this house of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand up and praise Him right now. Thank you, Lord.